went to last year's APHA meeting, and fortuitously he was available to speak about training of geriatric oral health providers. And he is an associate clinical professor and practice coordinator, School of Dental Medicine at Tufts. He has a BA in art history, and which is very important when you're thinking creatively. And he has several areas of expertise, one of which is scleroma, has been widely recognized and for which he's received a national award here at APHA, I think, last year.
Thank you very much. So I'm here speaking about gerontology and my father, who just turned 80 and is an associate professor at Emory since 1968, and one of the greatest speakers I've ever seen, is sitting right here in the front row, no pressure. All right, so I'm going to talk about a review of strengths and gaps in geriatric oral health and research curricula. Here's the outline. I don't have any disclosures that I know of. My wife is very busy on the internet with stocks, so I have no idea what she's doing. I don't want to go through this outline step by step. I think that you all have access to this online, right? Geriatric dental education is that portion of the dental curriculum that deals with specific knowledge, attitudes, and technical skills required in the provision of oral health care to older adults. Best practices are partially defined by CODA, the Committee on Dental School Accreditation. They have these three frameworks. Graduates must be competent in assessing the treatment needs of patients with special needs. The dental school must show evidence of interaction with other components of the higher education, healthcare education, and/or health delivery system. And graduates must be competent in communicating, collaborating with other members of the healthcare team to facilitate the provision of healthcare. And those last two refer to interprofessional education. Best practices will include class time, clinical experience in-house, and more importantly, extramural, cognitive assessment, and mentoring, and postdoctoral education. Now, interestingly, I didn't realize that Dr. Racine is one of the authors on this paper that showed that there are only 9 programs in geriatric dentistry in dental schools around the country out of 60. There is a little problem with that study in that the research was done by looking at the school's websites. And I recognize that our website does not show fully everything that we do in geriatric dentistry, and I assume that that's similar in other schools. But still, 9 out of 60 is not what we want to see. And of course, there are many other programs in dental schools that speak to geriatric oral health, and I've listed them on this slide. I'm not going to read them. So let's talk a little bit about prevention, because that's a very important part of what we teach at Tufts and what's taught at other dental schools in the country. So my students understand that before they can even look into a patient's mouth, they need to understand the patient's systemic health and how their systemic health might affect their oral health. This involves an extended health interview. Functional status, we need to know if the patient is able to perform their activities of daily living. How are they able to hold a toothbrush? Are they able to see well? Cognition, does the patient understand the importance of oral health and how to maintain it? One of the things that we're trying to do at Tufts now is we're trying to incorporate health communication models to help improve our education of the patients. This is a model that I've inserted into our manual for our department. So we're using the health belief model to teach students, or for students to teach their patients how to brush their teeth better. First, we start, of course, by talking with them about perceived benefits and perceived barriers. So, for example, perceived threats. Nursing home residents with heavy plaque are 25% more likely to die from pneumonia. This is from a paper that was published in 2008. So then we raise their self-efficacy. Here are some tools and techniques to help improve your flossing technique. And then we give them tools to action. This one works for my dad. Try to floss every night during the Daily Show. That may not work for a lot of seniors. Something that we should incorporate in the future is biobehavioral environmental intervention. So this means something that I'm going to be asking my students to do in the future is talk to your patients about what's your bathroom lighting like? Do you need a magnifying mirror? Also, adaptive devices. A lot of people can't handle floss. They can't hold floss. There isn't even good evidence that patients flossing their own teeth is that effective. But we can show them how to floss using flossing devices, perhaps a floss fork. If they can't hold that, then maybe wrap the floss fork in some duct tape. Also, electric toothbrushes have fatter handles. They're easier to hold. They do a lot of the work for you. And now we have smart toothbrushes like the Beam Brush and like the Oral-B Model 7000. Remember, I don't have any financial interest in these. But some of these smart toothbrushes can actually record where you have brushed and report that back to the patient, to the dentist, to the family. Community-based practice is going to become more important. So we have community as a setting, which could be the dental practice, the health center, an assisted living community. Community as a target, so if we change characteristics of the community, we might be able to improve the oral health care that the patient gets. Community as a resource, so we can have external resources such as a local dentist come to the nursing home and speak to the people who work in the nursing home. I've done that myself when I was a young dentist with VNAs. Community as an agent. Can we get the family to help the patient do a better job caring for their own teeth? I just threw this in. This is a fantastic Kaiser Jones brief oral health status examination where people who are not oral health care providers can look at the patient, can examine the patient, and report back to the dentist. At Tufts, I'm happy to say that we do have a fantastic lecture series. The lecture series is about 10 lectures dedicated to geriatric oral health with an examination at the end. We have clinical experience in-house. Our patients, I use the age of 65, 19.4% of our patients that are seen regularly in our schools, in our school, are over 65, which compares to a national number of around 13%. We have a geriatric case presentation that the students have to deliver to either the head of our geriatric dentistry department, Dr. Tillman, class of 49, or to people in my department. We have external rotations, geriatric screening program, where the students are taken to places with large numbers of geriatric patients, such as nursing homes, such as geriatric outreach centers. And we have some externship sites that are more likely to include large numbers of geriatric patients, such as VA hospitals. We provide mentoring, Dr. Tillman. The people in my department, the group practice coordinators, most of us have extensive experience working with geriatric patients, especially considering that most of us have been teaching in the clinic at school for an extended period of time. And also we have an oral medicine department that specializes in caring for patients who have autoimmune disease, and that's run by Dr. Athena Pappas, who is a nationally known, maybe internationally known, expert on Sjogren syndrome. Postdoctoral education, we have the general practice residency, which is morphing into an advanced education in general dentistry program. We have an oral medicine residency program, which is going to be starting soon. And we have the DMD-MPH program, which I'm tangentially involved with, where we have pre-doctoral students who are studying for their dental degree and at the same time studying for a master's in public health, which is fabulous. We do have a shortage of research on geriatric oral health at Tufts. So out of over 100 active IRB-approved projects, only two of them mention geriatric dentistry in their titles, and they are both being run by the same pre-doctoral student with two different faculty from the public health department at our school. I can tell you from research I've done on scleroderma that improved education of oral health care providers does lead to improved access to care for patients. So it's a little bit of a leap, but I assume that that would be the same with geriatric dentistry, because we know that there are many dentists out there, many hygienists, who are uncomfortable providing care to older adults. We should have a geriatric residency or fellowship. That would be really nice, and I know that Dr. Tillman has been working on that. We'd like to add cognitive assessment to our intake for geriatric patients at the dental school. We have an interprofessional education program that we are doing now, but I would like to see us add medical students into the mix. We don't yet have that, and although we do have some very good sites for that. And continuing education of faculty and practicing providers so that we are able to both provide better care to older patients and also provide mentoring to our students. This is my contact information.